Welcome to our series, Creative Impressions, where we are showcasing authors, consultants, and radio personalities who are involved in helping people discover interesting topics that will enlighten our listeners. Today, we are welcoming Mark Tierno, who has written a series of books in sci-fi genre, and Maldine is going to be his first release. Welcome, Mark.
Hi, thank you for having me on the show.
So, Mark, I'd like to jump right into the interview, and I'd like to know a little bit about your background. How did you actually get started in writing?
My background, I have a master's in physics and was always considered highly educated. The writing came along. I just began developing an interest in it probably around 12 or 13. I began getting some ideas in the back of my head, and they sort of go on together one bit at a time. And then years later, when I finally had some free time in my hands, I just sat down at the keyboard and began unloading all these plots and characters and twists and things that I've been accumulating for about the last couple decades.
Right. So what type of books do you actually write?
Fantasy and science fiction. I like to mix up the genres a bit. Like the first one, Maldine, it starts off your epic fantasy, but later on there's some science fiction that creeps in. And I have another series of books that sort of the other way around. There's science fiction with some fantasy elements thrown in.
So what made you actually choose the fantasy and sci-fi?
It's what I like reading, and about the best, if you're going to become the best writer you can, write what you love. I love to read fantasy and science fiction, so that's what I want to write. That's what I can be good at.
Great. So tell me a little bit about the current book that you're writing.
Okay, my current book is Maldine. It's primarily a fantasy world. It has many secrets, a whole host of characters. It's a world that is both filled with magic, mysteries, and physically larger than Earth by quite a degree. The characters in the world are out to seek their own destiny, but in the process, they find out there's a lot more to their destiny and the world than they ever knew. In the background of the world is a villain named Myro. He's the one that everyone's afraid of. He's been around for as long as anyone can remember, and yet no one's really sure what he wants. The characters go into this fairly innocent, and they get to find such places as the harbor of the world, where it's said the harbor is big enough to hold a million ships, the Sea of a Thousand Islands, so named because that's how many islands people know of, and a wide variety of other lands and terrains, including a great king with a magnificent castle that it's said he is the only person that is actually bold enough to stand out against Myro and form his own plans. Myro is the type of person that can plan centuries in advance.
Now, when you're working on a book, what's your typical writing schedule like, Mark?
Well, I start writing at 7:30 in the morning, and usually I'll go for like 8 or 10 hours with lunch someplace in there. It's easy when the book and stuff you're writing gets really exciting, and half the time I'm there for that long because I want to see how it comes out. I want to see what the characters do. So I can pull like about...
It sounds to me like you're pretty disciplined with your writing schedule.
For me it's easy because it gets exciting and I want to see how the story comes out and I just sort of lose myself in it.
You're actually discovering the characters and the plot as you're writing?
Yes, sometimes I have stuff planned. Sometimes they'll tell me what to write. The characters develop on their own.
So it's like they have their own personality and they just kind of reveal themselves to you?
Oh, definitely. And considering how many characters I have, just the first book has about 20 of them.
So the characters just about reveal themselves to you as you're writing?
Yes. I'll logically develop each one, and wherever that takes me as I'm typing along, that's where it goes. And I don't always know how it goes out or is going to come out. The characters develop the way people would in life.
It sounds like you have a lot of fun in your writing. What made you actually start writing?
I'd had, like I said, bits and pieces of the story accumulating in my head over the years, and knew at one point I just had to get it down and write. I finally found a time when, it has to do with taking care of parents and my grandparents' house burning down. And that sort of brought in some extra money in a weird way when I was helping with my dad and everything, and I had time to write, so I finally got down and started getting this out of my head.
Well, that's great. Now, I imagine there's a lot of people out there listening today that have also thought maybe they should write a book. What kind of advice would you give somebody who actually wants to begin writing?
Well, there's two schools of thought. There's some people that will tell you write the market, and I say no. Write what you love, write what you know, because if you don't write what you love, it's not going to come out to your best. And then just stick with it.
And it becomes too much work when you're not writing what you really enjoy.
Yeah, if it should feel like almost as if it's fun. You know, if your heart is into it, if you can get your soul into it, then you will do a lot better than if it just comes out being a job.
So, you know, I know that there's a lot of science fiction books out there, and I think Asimov was one of the first authors that I had read when I was growing up. What makes your books different from other people's books?
Well, a few things. One, I tend to mix up the genres a bit. I don't just stick with, because it's fantasy, it must have, you know, the following rules, or because it's science fiction, it must have the following rules. I mix it up a little. The world and the characters are about as true to life and developed as if this was actually happening out there. And the plot that I have going, it's almost soap opera in the way that it gets a bit involved. So I've had people that have read it and just really could not put the book down.
So it sounds like you put an awful lot of detail into your work. How much does that actually influence the direction of the story?
Well, I do have a lot of background detail. I have my entire world book ready to access whenever I need anything. And because of that, and I'm very logically minded, it does influence the detail of the story quite a bit. I'll have, like, maps laid out that I actually have physically drawn, and so in the story you can keep track of, like, how long it's taking them to get from point A to point B, or all the different cultural notes that I have for where in the world that they are. So, all the background details I have do influence a lot. It's like the interactions of a real world.
And then tell me a little bit about how you might come up with your ideas for some of the characters and the plot and even the environment that they are living in, Mark.
Well, the characters, before I start a book, I'll stat out each of the main characters that's going to be for that book, and then some will, of course, invent themselves as they go along. There are some characters that are based on people I've observed, others on ideas I'll get out of the blue. The plot, I outline everything ahead of time before I start the book. And it becomes more than just a simple plot. I'll go and try and throw in as many twists and turns as I can and then start into it. And some of it I'll add more as I'm writing. And the ideas for the world and the environment and stuff, pretty much just me sitting down, getting real creative. For instance, there's a spot in the world called the Sea of a Thousand Islands. And that I came up with because when I was a kid and I heard about Thousand Island dressing, I always wondered where these Thousand Islands were that the dressing came from. So it ended up on the world.
Oh, fantastic. So was there anyone in particular who has been influential in your writing?
That would have been my mom. All the years I was growing up, it's like her and my dad are always waiting to see where my brain would aim itself, because they always saw me as intelligent and imaginative. And then one day when I start sitting down writing, and it's like they're looking at each other going, hey, your son's a writer. Okay, we can live with this. And she was very supportive of that. Whenever I'd complain to myself about, you know, not being able to contribute more, she says, you have a job, you have two jobs. You're taking care of us, and you're a writer, and I get back to work.
That's great. You know, it's fun to have your parents supporting you, especially when you're writing. Have you ever suffered that dreaded writer's block?
There's actually several threads on these online groups where someone asks that question, and my answer has always been, writer's what? The closest thing to writer's block I've ever had, is when I'm trying to think up a different word for something, and I'll sit for 5 minutes or look at a thesaurus, but no, I've never, ever had writer's block.
That's very fortunate, because almost everyone, even Hemingway, claims to have had writer's block, so that's amazing. What do you think the easiest aspect is of writing, and what would be the most difficult for you?
The easiest is the writing itself. I sit down in front of the keyboard, I turn on the music, and, you know, 8-10 hours later, I'll have like 12,000-14,000 words. The hardest part is after the writing, and that would be getting it published, finding people that actually look at it and listen to you.
Okay. And then do you feel that rejection is actually part of being an author and getting your first novel published?
Well, in my case, it seems to be. Before finding a publisher, I'd sent out emails, phone calls, and letters trying to find an agent, and I think I went through about 150 tries.
Oh, my goodness. That takes an awful lot of time and energy. So how did you deal with that level of rejection?
I kept writing. But I knew someday, I knew exactly what it is I had.
Okay, so you just turned it right back into creativity.
Yeah, I just kept at it. I figured I could waste my time, you know, sitting around twiddling my thumbs, waiting for someone to say yes, or I can keep writing.
No, that's great. Not very many people have that discipline and the fortitude just to keep on going. So good for you. Why don't you tell our listeners how they can get a hold of you and where they can find your book?
Well, one way, I have the website, which is www.maldene.com. That's maldene.com. There are links also on there on how to get hold of the book. You should be able to get hold of it on all the usual online channels, Amazon, and whatever else. Also, if you go to Barnes & Noble and order it there, it's Maldene Volume 1 and Volume 2.
Fantastic. Well, I really want to thank you for being our guest today, and wish you all the luck. It sounds like it's going to be just a fascinating book to read. I can't wait till it's out.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
And this program is produced by Creative Impressions Corp. and cannot be reproduced or sold in any manner without the express written consent of this program.